for a few moments in the book of Acts. And noticing Acts 26, I believe it is. No, Acts 24, way off. And Paul goes, when Paul gets locked up in prison, and he goes before these rulers, you know what he tells them? He tells them his testimony, what the Lord done for him, why he's theirs, what the Lord done for him, his testimony. That's what a testimony is. We testify to the grace of God in our life. We testify that he saved us, that his grace was toward us. And so Paul is here, and notice this thing in Acts 24. I'm just going to just jump in here in verse 23, and he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, I always think about that, I don't know why, but that little cartoon movie, 101 Dalmatians, and Drew, wasn't that, I don't know if that was her name or not, but that old woman was always, Drew, what was her name? Cruella, I think of Drusilla here. I don't know why. It's two different names. But anyway, I think about that woman, and I think about her. And I notice this thing, which was a Jewish, and sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given, and that's the real reason that he wanted to talk to Paul. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now, I'm interested in verse 25, and he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. I think that's the true message for the world today, is wrapped up in them three words: righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. And Felix trembled. I think what people need to realize is in that message right there. What is righteousness? Well, it's rightness. Righteousness has to do with being straight. I think about when God told Nahum over there, he put up a plumb line. And I know Ronnie and the carpenters, they use a plumb line, and it makes a straight, like a weight at the end of a string. You let it down, and when it just there, that's a straight. That's righteousness. No crookedness in it. No bends, no bows, no giving. It's straight. And when people think about their righteousness, you ask yourself, are you as straight as the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have a bend, a bow, or a crookedness in your straightness, your righteousness, then you're not righteous. People today are like Israel. Hang on to Acts there. We'll come back there. But look in Acts, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I believe with all of my heart that we're all of us in here want to be right. I think we all want to have righteousness. But notice in Romans chapter 10 about the nation Israel. Notice, I'm going to go back to chapter 9 to give the context of the thing. In verse 30, he said, "What shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have obtained a righteousness? They obtained unto it, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not obtained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, why didn't they obtain unto the law of righteousness? Why was they not righteous when they tried to get it through the law of righteousness, by keeping the law?" That's what he said. And people today try to keep the commandments. People today try to keep the golden rule. People today try to be good enough for God to accept them, thinking that they are righteous. In fact, you can't be righteous. You can't get straight enough for God not to see crookedness. He goes on, he said, "Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, by keeping the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone." That stumbling stone is Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, he goes on to say. Christ lived the righteous life. Christ, there was no crookedness in Christ. He was straight. There was nothing, no fault could be found in his life while he was in the flesh, while he was in this world. Peter said there was no gall found in his mouth. He never had an evil thought. He never had a bad thought. He never did anything that was against his Father. He never had a thought of rebellion. He looked at those Pharisees who was trying to obtain to the law of righteousness, and he looked at them, and they was the religious leaders of his day. And he said, "Which of you can convince me of sin?" I think about his life. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. What is sin? Sin is unrighteousness, John said. Sin is the transgression of the law. So when you break one of the commandments, James says, you're guilty of breaking them all. There is no big sins, little sins. They are sins that affect people in different ways, and there are sins that will hurt people more than others, but they're all sin. And sin is the transgression of the law. Jesus Christ never, ever broke God's law. He never had a time where he coveted anything. He kept the Ten Commandments. He done that God expected of it. He lived a perfect life. He had not the sin nature that you and I had. Why? His seed came from God. God was his father. Mary was the vessel used to prepare a body for his son, and that body was a body of flesh. And he became one of us. and walked in flesh. He knew what it was to hunger. He knew what it was to be thirsty. He knew what it was to feel pain. He knew what it was to be hot. He knew what it was to be cold. He knew all that it knew about flesh and man. He had all the attribute of a man and yet was God. And lived a perfect life. That's righteousness. He's the stumbling block. Look down with me in chapter 10, verse 33 of chapter 9. He said, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, just like people today. But not according to knowledge, just like people today. Verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness. How are they trying to establish their own righteousness? By keeping the law. The law of righteousness. And have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the law, righteousness which is of the law. And here it is. That the man which doeth those things shall live by them. That's the law of righteousness. If you trying to keep the law, you got to keep the whole law. If you break one law, one of the least of the commandments, you're guilty of them all, and there's crookedness in you, and you're not righteous. And yet we are righteousness. Look back in chapter 3 of Romans. Romans chapter 3. Notice what he says here. Verse 19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That's what the law does. It condemns you. You look at the law and you say, man, I can't meet up to that standard. You're right. You can't. You can't even keep the first one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. There ain't a person in this building that loves the Lord with every fiber that's in them. All thy mind, soul, and heart, everything you do for the Lord. You love Him and you honestly live. No, you don't. There are days goes by that you don't think about Him one or two times. It might be a day go by and you not even think about Him. So much going on in your life, thinking about your wife or your husband or your children. So much go, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm telling you, there's nothing. You should be thinking of your family. I'm just trying to get you to see you don't love Him like the Lord loved Him. He kept it. But look on. He said there, verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, trying to keep it, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is what makes you aware of sin. I mean, if there's no law out there, you don't know that you're breaking the law. And you're not breaking the law if there's no law there. Right? Of course, nowadays they got a law for everything, so you can't even walk down the street without breaking some kind of law. And they do that to control you. Amen. It's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. No Antichrist is in control. Look now, and he says, I often think, I got to throw this in. They put in a law, and this is no reflection against the law enforcement, because we have a lot of them here. No, they don't make the law. They just try to enforce it, and they'd be wrong if they didn't enforce it. But they got a law where you can't lie to a cop. I'm supposed to tell him that I just committed this crime. And if I don't tell him the truth, then he charges me for lying to a cop. Now, you get so ridiculous, stupid. What we got them for, man? Investigate, prove that I'm wrong. Don't make me want to admit to it and charge me for lying. I seen that on Cops, you know, and I guess I should. And I just thought, I mean, good Lord, man. Well, get out there and prove him wrong. Find the evidence against him. This is why we believe you're wrong. I got to get back on track here. Chapter 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that joined this church. Joining this church doesn't make you righteous. By the way, I've got a little form that I'm going to bring up here as soon as I get some copies made. And I got a little thing and we're going to say, and if you want to be a member of this congregation, you just fill out that form and we'll add you to it. I just happened to think of that. Now look at, he says, the righteousness. It's by the faith of Jesus Christ. It's the righteousness of God. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Folks, Paul preached to Felix what? Righteousness. He preached for righteousness. We don't have any righteousness. The Bible says in Isaiah that our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in His sight. How can we say I'm righteous and compare myself with the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the pattern. He's the straightness. He's the righteousness. That shows me that I'm not righteous. So what do? We preach Christ. A great message is about Christ. It's about His righteousness. And then he preaches temperance. Paul presented to this man righteousness of Christ, no doubt. And he preached, he didn't have none, and he preached temperance. Now I looked up the word temperance in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. It's moderation of indulgence of the natural appetites and passions, the flesh. In other words, the past temperance is keeping it under control. In fact, we about mentioned that in Sunday school. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Just turn a page down. In Acts, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Temperance. You know, people today don't have temperance. They don't keep their passions and their appetites under control of the flesh. They let their flesh just go on. Temperance. That's what the word is. It's have moderation about things. Look what he said there in, I'm going to go down in chapter 9. And let's see, 25. And every man that striveth for the magistracy is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And we'll be using this in our Sunday school when we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Temperance, moderation. An athlete, he brings his body, he prepares his body, he's temperate. He just doesn't go eat just anything. He eats what that's good for his body in order to build his body to perform the whatever it is, the race he's running, or if he's a weightlifter, or if he's a football, baseball, basketball, it don't matter. He controls his body. That's temperance. It's not indulging all the time. Every once in a while, it's okay. That stuff that Pat brought and put back there on that pew, that's good stuff back there. Y'all seen it? I guess she brought it for you to take. It's them Danish or whatever cookies, cream pies. All, now, if you lived off of that, you'd be like me. Be worse. But look what he goes on. He says, temperate in all things. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it, my body, into subjection. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. A castaway is the opposite of being approved. In other words, if I do not bring my body under subjection and I just go out, then the people that I'm trying to look, they're going to look at me and I'm going to be a castaway into their eyes. I'm not going to be approved, and so they'll just shun me, whatever. They won't pay no attention to me. I can't win them. Temperance. Now why would Paul preach temperance to a sinner? To let him know he is a sinner. Folks, you know what people need today? They need to be preached to that they have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that they are sinners. And just because they don't do bad things, don't make them any less of a sinner. And old Paul brought that home. Said, well, I don't do what other people do. Well, other people do what they do because of what they are. What they do doesn't make them a sinner. Why they do it is because they are a sinner. Same way with you. And then he preached him of judgment to come. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews. And notice in Hebrews. Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 27, Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. People say, is there life at afterlife? It begins with judgment. And I can understand why Felix would tremble We need to hear of God's righteousness and His unrighteousness. We need to hear of His passions being out of control. We need to hear. You know what it is, folks? You know why you preach? Paul, I believe, would be preaching temperance to this man and judgment. You know, there's people today, and it might be you might be sitting here today, and you're lost, and you won't trust Christ because you don't want to give up. You think you might have to give up something that your old flesh desires. That's not being temperance. That's not temperance. And people today are hanging on, and they want their old appetites and everything like that, and they think, I can't give that up. God is not asking you to give them up. God is asking you to do something. What is He wanting you to do? He wants you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for all your sins, and all your sins are paid for, and He's not holding you accountable today. He's offering you grace and peace through His Son and what He did for Him. And if you'll trust Him, He'll save you and give you eternal life. And then you can work on your temperance. People today want to work on the temperance part before they even have the Spirit of God, before they even saved, and it don't work that way. It's righteousness first, then temperance, and then the judgment to come, in that order. People today want to give up their old fleshly habits in order to please God. That's not salvation. Salvation is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Him saving you, and then the temperance come, and then the judgment to come. And we're going to stand before the Lord someday. At those that are saved is going to the judgment seat of Christ. Them that are lost will be go to the great white throne judgment. And either way, you're going to bow down. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord unto the glory of God the Father. Judgment to come. What's that old thing? The only things that last is what we do for Christ. Everything we do in our old bodies for His glory, someday we'll reap the benefits. You're going to stand before the Lord. You hear this lost? What a time that's going to be. I think about the hell of hells. Here I am going to be cast out into the lake of fire. If I was a sinner and I'm standing before God and I'm giving myself and I'm going to be standing there before the Creator of heaven and earth and hear Him to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And have the angels of God to grab me on one side and cast me. And that word cast is the same as a throwing a ball out into the lake of fire. And there I am going into the lake of fire and the torments of hell and the lake of fire. And you know what's on my mind? I didn't have to be this way. I didn't have to go here. My sins was took care of, but I just wouldn't believe it. It wouldn't that be the hell of hells knowing here I'm going to pay for all of my unrighteousness toward God and toward what He did for me for all eternity when I didn't have to. Jesus Christ had already paid for it, and I would not believe it and receive it, so now I'm paying for them. And there's where you lose your soul. There's where you become a serpent. There's where you become take on the attributes of Satan, your father. You see, Jesus Christ on that cross said, "I am a worm and no man." where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You're created in the image of God the Father. You're created there. You have a image. God created in you a soul, and that soul is like your body, and there you are, God, your body, soul, and spirit. And folks, you lose, that soul loses that image of God when you are cast out into the lake of fire out there, and you're everlasting destruction, and there you are separated from God Almighty, and you become like your father, the devil, a serpent, like a worm. And there you are, you lose what God intended on you to be. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're not saved, trust Christ as your Savior. Don't let this day go by. Don't let this message go by. Everything that needed to be done has been done to save you. And all you have to do is receive it. All you need to do is just receive what He's done for you, and it becomes yours. Believe on Him, trust Him, and thou shalt have life. Please, I beseech you right now, in Christ's stead, I'm here in the place of Christ, beseeching you, be reconciled to God. God has reconciled Himself to you. God reconciled Himself on the cross. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. God removed the barrier that separated you and Him. Sin, He's reconciled to you. He's not angry with you. He will receive you. He will love you. He will put you into His family. He is already there. He's done the work. Now you be reconciled to God. You as a sinner, I'm a sinner. He did all that for me. I believe it, and it'll become a reality. Will you do that? While I pray, will you right now trust Christ? If you are saved, will you right now in your heart say, Lord, I want to do more for you. I want to live more for you. I want to love you more because you first loved me. Would you do that while we stand right now and pray? Father, Lord, you know the hearts of people that's here. You know whether they're saved or whether they're lost. And Lord, we tried to make it as simple as we could. And Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit of God right now would deal with their hearts. And Lord, I pray those that are here that's lost, that right now, in simple childlike faith, Lord, they'll just turn their salvation over to you and rely upon you and what you did for them. And Father, believe it and trust in the gospel. Trust in you as your Savior, as their Savior. Father, I pray that they'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Oh, God, do that. Help them to do that. Help them, Father. Convict them. Let them see that it's so simple. Then, Father, I pray those that are saved, that we'd all dedicate our life to getting this message out to the world and having this world and our friends and our family realize what you did for them. And Lord, we might bring those of our family that are saved into the knowledge of the truth. And Lord, that the families, that our families that are lost might see the gospel and be saved. Everything is accomplished. We'll give you the praise for it. For Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you did trust Christ, tell somebody about it. And may the Lord bless you.